This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Now, we've got a special guest in the studio, and I don't know where to start. I really don't, because this is an incredible story. We better start by introducing you. Now, I've got, if my memory serves me rightly, it's pronounced Catherine Rossati.
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 You were close. You were very close. So it's all good.
Close
it's all
no
good.
Cigar. So, well, thanks for coming in. And we should thank Lottie for setting up the interview.
Yes.
And it's lovely to meet you. And it's lovely to meet... We should mention your husband out in the green room.
Yeah. My husband's here with me. He's also my carer. So he enables me to sort of go out and about and do a lot of things that otherwise I wouldn't be able to. Because... Basically, I'm autistic and I have ADHD. I'm also physically disabled. I have something called hypermobility spectrum disorder and dysautonomia. With autism and ADHD, some of the things that sort of affect me when I'm out and about with daily life is sensory overload. I'm very sensitive to sounds, particularly cars and sort of building works and things like that, and I'm quite sensitive to light as well, so if I'm going in shops or places and there's quite bright lights, it really sort of affects my eyes and sort of can disorientate me. So if anyone were to see me out and about, usually I'm wearing sunglasses regardless of what weather it is, and I'm also usually wearing either ear defenders or some sort of earplugs. The particular type of earplugs that I prefer, if anyone is interested, are they're from a brand called Loop, who are very, very good.
I don't need to be here. You're doing the interview yourself. How brilliant.
I told you.
Is it too bright in here?
No, because I've got my sunglasses on. It's good.
So you're okay?
Yeah.
Because there is a light switch by the side of you there. Just look behind you there. If you wanted to flick that off, up a bit... Back a bit, that one there. If you wanted to switch it off, is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, that's lovely.
That is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
That's cool. that's great. First of all, I mean, what an inspiration you are, and this will probably be the most inspirational interview that you listen to for a long time. I guarantee this, listener, because it's interesting, it's fascinating, and what is lovely is we don't talk about these things, and if we don't talk about them, we don't know what it's like for you. And it's lovely that you've got a badge on that says you've got autism and so on, and it alerted me, which I knew anyway because I've read the stuff that Lottie sent me.
Yeah.
And the book that you're going to talk about in a moment is all based on that as well. Your approach to autism and I don't know whether it was ADHD as well.
It was ADHD. Yeah.
And it's lovely that we can talk, because how many times do we hear people say, well, yeah, autism, but I don't know what it is. And you've just, in the introduction that you did, you've highlighted a number of things, and it's given people a flavour and an idea of what you have to go through on a daily basis, what it's like for you.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. So thank you for that. And the real reason why you're here is to talk about a book. Now, you know, if Lottie's listening, she's probably thinking, mention the book, for goodness sake. So before we do let's go back, because you've been writing stuff for how long?
So I've been writing since I first learned how to write. So it's basically, if I start back, you know, at sort of school age me, I was quite the daydreamer at school, and I was also bullied quite a lot. I wasn't diagnosed as autistic or ADHD until I was an adult, until I was 28. So I actually grew up sort of without my needs being met. And so, yeah, I used to spend quite a lot of time daydreaming and also disassociating, which I didn't know it was called disassociation back then. I actually only learned that term when I was an adult. I used to refer to it as going into third person mode. And basically what causes that for me, it's being overwhelmed in sensory overload, and it feels like my sort of consciousness exits my body and is sort of somewhere behind me, sort of as if I'm watching someone else go through the motions of what they're doing. But in terms of writing, because I did daydream, it sort of was natural for me to start writing those dreams down, and all those ideas and the worlds that I start to build. And I always, at school, I really loved all the sort of assignments to do with making up stories and characters and things like that. And I've always been very creative. I've been writing for a long time. Talking about it seriously in terms of becoming a published author, that I think, although it was always sort of in my mind, I didn't buckle down to it until about 2012, where I started taking some Open University courses. I did the two main creative writing modules. I also sort of did a proofreading course after that. I struggled with the proofreading, not because necessarily of the course materials, but I don't think I was in the right state of mind to do it at that time. But it did improve my sort of self-editing when I go to, you know, look over my work and edit my work myself, which is it's a difficult but sadly very necessary part of writing is self-editing. I go back and forth as to what I find harder, sort of the initial drafting or the editing phase, and I think it just depends on what else I've got going on and sort of what mood I'm in at the time. Recently I was trying to self-edit a novel, but I also wanted to start writing another novel because I get ideas all the time and they're really, really exciting. So I want to just sort of get them down on the page. So I ended up, drafting another book while trying to edit one.
Wow.
It was exhausting.
Yeah, I bet.
It was exhausting.
But it was exhausting anyway, doing one book, let alone
it
two.
It is, yes. There's so much energy that goes into writing a book. And because I am ADHD, I really do struggle to focus. And so it can be very hard to get the words in my head and the ideas in my head down on paper. I do push myself quite a lot, and it can take me like hours just to get 500 words down. But at the same time, like, I'll have days where I can, you know, write 1,000 words in an hour, sometimes more, and it's so variable. So I've been writing for a long time, is the answer to your question.
A long time, yeah. but quite inspirational. I just got to ask you this. Yeah. Was there a point when you thought, how do I do this? Am I really going to do this? Because, you know, you may think, like, a lot of young people, when they're told and they're given a label that they can't and they won't be able to do anything. So was there someone that said, took you under their wing and said, hey, look, you can do this? Or did you do that all yourself?
So my family have always been quite supportive. However, with one family member, I actually had the opposite. This was actually my granddad who said this, and he actually said it when I was quite young, when I first, I think, said that I want to be a writer when I'm older. He basically said there's no money in writing, and therefore, in his view, it was not worth doing. And that was very disheartening. That was really quite crushing for me. And it did put me off, not at the time he said it, but later on when I thought about it as I was older, sort of a teenager, it did put me off for a couple of years, and I did stop writing for a couple of years. Even little short stories and things like that, I stopped doing that, and I just became really, really unhappy, because apparently I'm one of those people where I can't not write. If I don't write, my mental health gets worse. which is a really interesting thing.
So did you think, I mean, at the end of the day, some people say things and they spur you on.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It turned it. Later on in life, you turned it around. Mm. But at that time, it was, like you say, quite crushing.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, there's also a lot of other factors there, because when I was at school, I did struggle a lot. I mean, when I was young at school, in primary school, because I didn't get any support, you know, it was the 90s.
Here you are.
Yeah.
And here you are, X amount of years on, you've had X amount of books published, you've also got audio books out as well.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. And the latest, Lottie, we're just about to get to it if you're listening, the latest collection is Raw and Raw.
Yeah.
So explain that.
So, for all listeners, because obviously they're two very similar words, it is raw as in to roar like a lion would roar, and then raw as in raw skin or raw emotions. That was a very deliberate title that I chose, because basically what the collection is about is it's my sort of reaction, and sort of how I processed my autism and my ADHD diagnoses as an adult. And because I got diagnosed as autistic when I was 28, but my ADHD diagnosis came a couple of years later, actually. And it's an interesting story. I never thought I was ADHD. It never occurred to me at all. But after my autism diagnosis, I did a deep dive into research to try and understand my own brain. And I was doing, it was actually, I think, Open University course, but on their sort of free courses that they do. I've forgotten what they're called. But it mentions co-occurring conditions, and so it had ADHD, and it listed all the things of ADHD. And I actually recognised the traits in my husband first, because he is actually ADHD, but he didn't know that at the time. And then I read it a second time and I thought, wait a moment, this is me as well. Ah,
right.
So that was an interesting moment.
So look, going back to the book, okay,
yes.
you've got how many poems in it?
Sort of around 20, might be 21. I can't quite remember exactly.
And are they all to do with having autism and ADHD? So it's making people aware. They're all about your feelings, your thoughts, and so on.
Yes. So sort of topics that are in them are, I talk about stimming and sort of, because the first thing that I did, and it's the first poem you'll find in the collection, it's a poem called This Old Stimtastic Me. And it was about when I looked at the home videos we had from when I was very young, because I wanted to know if back then it was obvious, if, you know, if I could watch my younger self and see that I was autistic in those videos. And I absolutely could. There's footage of me, like it was actually of one Christmas, and you know, I'm sitting there and I'm sort of flapping my hands, and I have, you know, I'm doing all these different reoccurring motions. Just by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, stimming is something that a lot of autistic people do to self-regulate, and it's very important for autistic people to stim, because otherwise we very quickly become dysregulated.
Just explain what the stimming is. Because, you know, I've had a few instances with people where they would go into muttering mode.
Yeah.
And they would be talking to themselves, maybe talking them into, we can do this, or, you know, just talking to themselves, making sure that they're okay. Would that be fair to say? Or
It can be. Quite a lot of the time it is sort of physical motions. So I'm sitting here at the minute and I have fidget rings on, and using those as I'm talking, that is a stim that I'm doing now. I'm also sitting on a spinny chair, and I've been sort of twiddling back and forth on that because that's a stim for me.
Right.
And doing this is enabling me to carry on with this conversation, to put me at ease and to stop my anxiety building up.
Which is good.
There are many ways.
I don't want you walking out.
I'd probably fall over the wires.
Yeah.
You know.
There's no wires down there. There's five. I mean, this is so fascinating because it's almost like we're looking inside your mind, and when you because you're going to read out some of your poems in a minute.
Yeah.
It's almost like understanding what it's like.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, people, if you don't know, there will be people out there that have got youngsters, young kids that are, you know, going through this and don't know what to do, and they may have a diagnosis, they might not have a diagnosis, and so on, and they would have no clue what the symptoms are. They won't have any clue what it's like for people to go through this on an everyday basis and how they overcome things. Simple things like turning the lights out when they're too bright and things like that. It's fascinating. It opens a lot of people's minds and eyes, and I think the more we talk about it, the more we understand, the less ignorant we are.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So can we have a poem?
Yes, although before I get into that, I'll very quickly say, for anyone on the island who is either going through diagnosis themselves, is on the waiting list for that, or has any kids who are, or even if you're just sort of unsure but think your kids might be autistic, check out AIM Isle of Wight. So AIM stands for Autism Inclusion Matters, and it is an autistic-run organisation, and they do hold sessions for autistic people, young people and adults. They have a Facebook page, so if you type in AIM Isle of Wight on Facebook, it should come up. They also have a website. Again, you type in AIM Isle of Wight, that should also come up. I think recently they have had some funding issues, but they are still running those sessions, and they are very, very helpful for a lot of autistic people on the island, and you do not need a diagnosis to go to those sessions.
Wonderful. So that's AIM Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yes.
You're not alone. That's the message to people. You're not alone. You don't have to go through this alone. There's lots of people like yourself out there that have got useful information, loads of stories, and are understanding and want to help. So can we have a poem now?
Yes. So this is quite a long poem. It's probably the longest poem in the collection. It's called A Letter About Being Neurodivergent to My Childhood Self. And I'm also just going to preface that. So if you're not familiar, the term neurodiversity or neurodivergence, it's an umbrella term for things like autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, dyspraxia, and it does also cover long-term mental health conditions like OCD, like bipolar, PTSD, and all of those types of things. So that was just an explanation of what neurodivergent means.
Thank you.
Okay. Try not to panic. It's you from the future. I'm writing to say, don't worry. Everything getting to you will make sense in the end. Like the times you wait by the fence, watching the other kids play, wondering when they'll ask you to join in, what you'll do if it happens. How confused you are at the ease they interact, talking freely while you stand silent, their shouts and screams of joy overloading your ears until the whistle blows, hitting like ice up your spine, locking you into rigid limbs and wriggling insides. The hold authority has. And those times you're unsure what Miss is asking of you, fretting whether you're doing the work right, because she didn't go through it fully first. So you wait, watching the other kids, trying to guess their thinking as they set straight to task, hoping you can glimpse their work so you can copy. Then there's the time you'll have to go to the dentist during rehearsals for the school play. Should you put your hand up? Should you just stand? You'll ask in whispers. Everyone will say, put your hand up. You'll hesitate, thinking the teachers won't see your hand when they're busy observing the stage. Instead, you'll stand and get told off for not telling them to seat you at the end of the row, even though your class teacher read your appointment note during morning registration. How about all those occasions the kids take advantage of your attempts to join in? Sharing your cat's cradle, only for them to run off, claiming to the others that it's theirs. Or when a girl steals your toy, telling the dinner lady you stole it from her. You can't get your words up properly, so give in and let her keep it. When they're supposed to share textbooks, yet drag them away so you can't see. Let's not forget how you can't coordinate your body in PE. When you have so much trouble learning in class that Miss suggests taking your work home to complete. The long years of doing just that. When you have your nose in a book at the doctor's because you can't deal with what is going on, called rude for not paying attention. Your many attempts to get the timing right on Mario's jump, failing at every try. Learning to play catch, only for the ball to drop through your fumbling fingers. When you tell a stranger how bad a family member's morning breath is, unsure why both family member and stranger are embarrassed. It's fact, isn't it? How you don't understand why people play with dolls when you can make up characters in your head. Stop. Right here, stop loathing your inability to mould yourself into an acceptable shape for everyone else to accept. There's a reason you're the way you are. A simple explanation. You're neurodivergent. Your brain works differently. You'll notice things others never will. Create like they never will. Think in ways they never will. Neurodivergent doesn't mean strange, weird, stupid, freak. It means you and the others out there wired in similar ways who know exactly how this feels. So remember, you're not alone. Explain your difficulties and your strengths. How many other kids can marathon books at the rate you can? Or focus intensely on something for hours. Eventually, the world will start to understand. P.S. In the meantime, try sunglasses and earplugs, indoors and out.
I love that bit at the end. That's like the light and shade, isn't it? That was light, but quite intense and heavy and a powerful message in there. I love that. Thank you for doing that. And it really does open people's eyes, and it's just an amazing thing. It really is. And will you come back again?
Yes.
Not just to talk about your books, but to open people's minds and eyes.
Yes, I will.
I think it's fascinating. We should understand more what it's like. What it's like for you. What it's like for others. A young man came in a while back, and he read a poem out, and I only remember two lines of it. But it was the most powerful of all because he said, I'm different to you. I walk in a classroom and I see where I'm going to sit, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to sit. I don't see anything else. I don't see anybody else. I just see that chair.
Yeah.
And that's what he's focused on. And it kind of opened my eyes a little bit. And the more we talk about it, the better it is for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look, when is the book available?
So the official publication date is September 2nd, so quite soon now, but you can pre-order it from Lemon Jelly Press's website, and they also have a Facebook page as well, and a Substack, Instagram, you'll find them online, but you can also get it at my book launch, which will be on the 9th of September at Department in Ryde from 6 p.m. And tickets will be, they are available on Department's website. And I think the plan for that is I'll be doing some readings and having a chat, and there'll possibly be some other poets there as well. So yeah, Lemon Jelly Press is my publisher, and they've been fantastic doing this. Lottie, who runs it, is absolutely amazing to work with. They are a local publisher, so based on the island, but they do, when they are open for submissions, they take submissions from all over. I was just very lucky that Lottie chose my work to take forward. And yeah, out of the publishers I've worked with so far, I'm published by three different publishers. Lemon Jelly Press are, I think, the best and the easiest to work with out of all of them. Nothing is too much trouble for Lottie, and she's really good.
I bet she's tearing up now for all this. Hey, look, we've run out of time, but thank you for coming and being a wonderful guest. Good luck with the book. Good
thank
luck with
you.
The book launch, and good luck with everything else. And please, please, please come back.
I will. I will. It's been quite fun doing this.
Good.
So,
can we have the lights back on now? Because I can't see what I'm doing. Yeah.